a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 at KSL News Radio. Jeff Kaplan here. We have broken clouds, 72 degrees. KSL's top story.
Mandatory mask requirement.
Utah County decided to do away with this mask mandate today. The KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce says people who live, work, or visit there still have to wear one.
That's because the county's been designated a high transmission area by the state of Utah. Because of that, state health guidelines require masks at any outdoor or indoor gatherings where social distancing isn't possible. Concerts, the grocery store, even at weddings. The county feels their mandate's unnecessary right now since state rules basically cover everything. Coronavirus cases in Utah County have either plateaued or are going down since masks became required, but hospitals are seeing more and more patients.
At least one city is keeping its mask mandate in place for now, Provo. The Salt Lake County Mayor's Office is proposing its budget for 2021, and COVID is having a big impact. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
Things are still really quiet around the Taylorsville Recreation Center. Sports leagues had to be put on hold, and customers who use the gym say it's kept up nice, but it's kind of dead in there.
There's only like three or four people there when I work out.
Rec centers and theaters were among the services cut the most when the pandemic hit, and County Chief Financial Officer Darren Casper says many of the cuts they had to make in March through June will have to continue. He says a lot of federal funding is being cut.
This emergency is going to continue, yet the CARES funds expire on December 30th of this year.
And they have an expensive COVID-19 vaccination rollout they have to prepare for. Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
Even though they're running against each other for governor, Republican Spencer Cox and Democrat Chris Peterson released an ad this morning calling for unity and to tone down all the heated rhetoric leading up to Election Day.
My name's Spencer Cox.
And I'm Chris Peterson.
And we approve this message.
That's the end of their 60-second message. You can see it right now on the KSL News Radio Facebook page or at our Twitter account. The second and final presidential debate is set for Thursday night. It'll happen in Nashville, and the president is talking about what he expects.
President Trump continues to falsely claim that the topics for this Thursday's debate have been changed, telling Fox News.
This was supposed to be a foreign policy debate, and now all of a sudden we're talking about things that are not foreign policy.
But there were no changes to the list of topics. The two campaigns and the debate commission agreed months ago that the debate moderator, in this case NBC's Kristen Welker, would choose the topics. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
This afternoon, New York's governor is calling President Trump a super spreader. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, Governor Andrew Cuomo says he holds President Trump responsible for every death in New York State from COVID.
He lied, and in combination with his lies, he was incompetent.
To date, New York State has registered nearly 33,000 coronavirus deaths. After a mild case of coronavirus in June, Leslie Tanyan didn't think that she would contract COVID again, but she was wrong. The 46-year-old from Oklahoma City says the second one hit her in August and she barely survived.
I thought I was immune. I did not think I would get it again, and I did.
Tanyan spent 3.5 weeks on the COVID floor of the hospital before being moved to a long-term care facility for a month. She still has lung damage. U.S. drug overdose deaths are on track to reach an all-time high this year. Addiction experts blame the coronavirus pandemic. They say it has left people stressed and isolated. And the Department of Homeland Security is announcing new efforts to combat human trafficking. Here's Acting ICE Director Tony Pham.
Individuals and organizations seeking to exploit the most vulnerable among us are profiting off the forced labor and prostitution of their victims through physical, mental, and sexual abuse.
The department will support federal criminal investigations and victim assistance. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 4:33. With the election 2 weeks away, public safety officials are trying to keep bad information from getting in the way of a fair election. They say they're seeing a lot of bad info being passed around, and it's extremely easy for everyone to become unwitting participants in spreading it. DPS Sergeant Jeffrey Plank says disinformation is more deliberate. Misinformation is something else.
You know, it's fake news. You know, we hear that a lot. Generally speaking, it's false information that's unintentionally passed from one person to the next.
For instance, Plank says they recently saw a man post a video to social media which made it look like the voter database had been corrupted and he wasn't able to register as a Republican. Plank says it wasn't true. Freight trains stopped on the tracks at 5600 West and 800 South can sometimes hold up traffic more than an hour, but the Utah Department of Transportation's moving ahead with a fix for the problem. KSL News Radio's Dan Bomas has more.
Construction crews started placing beams for a new bridge over the tracks this week. They hope to have it finished in about a year, along with three new lanes to carry more traffic between I-80 and 21st South. UDOT's John Gleason says there's a lot of new business growth in the area, along with a lot of frustrated drivers when trains impede traffic.
UDOT plans to keep traffic moving through the area during the project, with only a few closures when needed. KSL News Time 4:35. About everything else on the roads, Ricky, tell us about the top trouble spots.
We have a couple of new surface street crashes. One is going to be a crash with injuries, 1300 West at about 110th South. Also, a new accident. This is one they've been working on, northbound Bangor Highway, just after 90th South. Ricky Meeson, the KSL Traffic Center.
Thanks, Ricky. Coming up, last-minute Christmas shoppers. Heck, last-month Christmas shoppers. You'd all better stay right here. My Minute of News is on the way next. It's 4:36 at KSL.
Lockdowns and their benefit as we continue to combat the coronavirus.
We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdown.
Live Mike with Lee Lonsberry. Weekdays 12:30 till 3 on KSL.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.